Welcome to Simply Us, a podcast by Robin Victoria Tiedemann,
where we talk about life, marriage, minimalism, and everything fun. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
We're here with episode 20
in
our first podcast episode of the new year.
Yep.
What's been going on?
Well, we've been up to a couple of things. Saw a couple of movies recently. Well, I saw one, you saw two.
Which is nice, because we don't get a chance to see movies as much as we once did, and I really like movies.
Yeah.
So what movie did we see?
Well, we together saw The Last Jedi.
Mm.
And not to get into it, but we liked it.
Yep.
We've seen a lot of people complain about it. I thought it was really, really good.
I don't know why they're complaining.
Because people don't like change.
I don't really see much change in it.
Okay.
I don't.
I'm not going to get into it on the recording.
We can't. No spoilers, okay? We don't do that. Mm. We don't like ruining things because The Force Awakens was ruined for me with a spoiler.
Yep.
Because we didn't get to see it till it was out on DVD.
Yeah.
And so I was really upset by people just saying things and expecting everyone to have seen it. Mm-hmm. Like, no, not everyone has seen it. So, therefore, I do not spoil newer movies for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Ferdinand with the boys and our friends.
Yep. Which the boys said that they enjoyed it. They said it was a cute, silly movie.
It was cute. I mean, it wasn't that great. It was okay. You know, it's a kid movie. There's some kid movies where it's amazing. But Ferdinand was an old story that I used to love when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So they just modernized it. It was nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Peter Rabbit will be fun, though.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Peter Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Another story that I grew up with. Yep. Did you grow up with that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember reading it in the older, like, the Golden Books and stuff like that. And a couple of other, like, bigger, other versions of it, too.
Right. Yeah, it's a cute story. And Paddington 2 is coming out, too. And we really liked the first one as well.
Yep.
The boys included. We also grew up with that.
Yep. Again, yes, another thing.
And they read the book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these are some things to look forward to.
Yeah. Yeah, 2018 I think will be a good year.
I hope so. Hope it will be better for most people. I know a lot of people had a hard time with this past year.
Yeah.
But we had a really good year because we had a lot of things happen that were positive.
Yep. We got out of debt with the school loan and the car loan. Cool. Well, in some senses, school loans because of the way that they did
Well, the school loan, we were out of debt with December before.
Well, true.
But it was the new year.
But January was the new year that felt like we were clean from that. And then early on in the year, we got rid of the car loan.
Yeah.
So
that was all a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we were able to go on vacation, go camping.
Yep.
We had a lot of fun.
Yeah. It was a year for being new experiences and just to live differently.
Yeah. So I hope that can continue in this year.
Mm-hmm. So as it's the new year and last year the boys were going through a study of Japanese culture, we started to see some things that were in the study that we learned about with New Year's and the way that they do certain things that we thought might be neat to adapt.
Yeah.
For instance, they have their deep cleaning of the home at the beginning of the year, which I thought is pretty cool because since we kind of got really into the downsizing and minimizing and simple lifestyle this past year, to start this year off with a big cleaning day, I thought would be really fun.
Yeah.
Plus, it made me think of Totoro.
Yeah. It's called Osoji.
Mm-hmm.
There's also where you clean the dust off, too, which is called Susuharai, which is to purify the house for the new year.
Which, like I said, that's the part that made me think of Totoro with the soot sprites.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't the new year, it was just the idea of starting a new life in that house.
And if any of you have seen the Studio Ghibli movie, My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah.
That's where that
And if you haven't, from. You should see it, because it's good anyway.
Yeah, I like it. It's my favorite Studio Ghibli.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good one.
And I've seen every single one. But anyway, so how did you start off this year?
This morning, I started by reading the life-changing manga of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo, or KonMari. So it's just a manga adaptation of, I think it's both of her books, right? The life-changing magic
of Tidying Up? No, it's from her first book.
Okay.
It's just so it's a shorter way of telling it
all. Yeah. It's just a abbreviated little bit more fun way of going through her explanation of her method of, yeah. of sorting things out and decluttering. And it was just a cool way to start the year, because as I'm reading it, I started looking around the room I was in and thinking, like, I could kind of get rid of those, or I could kind of get rid of that, and I really should clean up this.
It got you ready for Osoji.
Yeah, it did. It was definitely... Oh, I said to you as I was reading it right away, I was like, okay, well, I need to do that and that.
He was looking at his, like, 10 books, and he was like, yeah. Oh, I don't know if I really need all of those.
Well, even after I got up, I went to put my phone down on the nightstand or something, and I had a bunch of stuff piled up, and I was like, I had to go and clean it right away.
Yeah, that's good.
So... yeah, it was good to get inspired first thing in the year.
And I say that manga is actually better than the book. I read the book, and I don't know, it was kind of, it was all right.
Well, the book is probably more formal, so yeah, it's a little bit
harder. There wasn't enough of an explanation in the book about how to do things, and right. I think that manga explained things better. So I really love her second book, Spark Joy.
Mm-hmm.
That one's so much better.
Well, I liked in the manga the fact that it wasn't, I mean, I didn't read the book, so I can't say anything right. based on that. But with the manga, it was done around the idea of a conversation between her and a client.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of made it easier to maybe put yourself in the shoes of the client, almost as if like she's talking to you through the character
yeah.
in the manga. So I don't know. I think it just might have helped to make the process easier to understand.
In her book, she mainly talks about her experiences growing up with her obsession of cleaning things.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes into some of the things that people have talked to her about in their own tidying mm-hmm. with her training them. But it's not really that in-depth. She's just like, oh, this one customer had this in their house. They were really into this collection or whatever it was. And I feel like it wasn't really helping someone that wanted to tidy.
Yeah. Well, like I said, without the conversational aspect of the way that the manga presented it, it could get kind of just, okay, well, it's one thing to explain it, like to be a monologue, like the book, but to actually be able to do it more of like a question and answer kind of format, I think made it easier for me, at least.
Yeah.
Aside from our recap of the end of last year and what we're doing this year, today specifically, we thought we would throw out a question about the people who listen. And we've done it before, obviously. It's not the first time. But we thought this time maybe try to take it a little bit more of like a personal thing with the new year, the whole idea of turning new leaves. So you went on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook to ask a question of, what is one imperfection that you had to accept and love about yourself?
Hmm.
So it doesn't necessarily tie into the end of the previous year and the beginning of the new year, but I think with it being the new year, asking the question could be good to help people really deal with things and to, as you said, love themselves and to kind of deal with whatever they're disappointed about with themselves or things that they find as imperfections.
Plus, or that others would normally say is an imperfection
yeah.
that they embrace.
Yeah. What I think is also neat about the question, though, is that it ties into one of my other favorite aspects about Asian culture. I don't know if it's specifically Japanese or not, but at least the term of wabi-sabi is definitely a Japanese thing. So we'll get into it and explain it as we go. Because it makes sense to kind of follow up the question and some of these answers with the explanation of it and part of what I love about it. So the first answer that we got in response to the question is just myself. And that's very sweeping.
It's a big deal, you know, if you don't accept yourself. So if this person had to accept themselves, they might have had quite a struggle to have to get there.
Well, of course. I don't mean to
so it's a good thing.
Play it down at all. Like we just had an episode, well, not just... We had an episode where we talked about dealing with depression and stuff like that. So that obviously would tie into that.
Yeah.
Because if you find yourself to be imperfect and you can't love yourself, then that's not a good place to be.
Right.
So as the question implied, imperfections, you have to learn to love your imperfections and to look past them and to accept them.
Yeah. Another answer was crooked eyes and being goofy looking. Now this person, they have a lazy eye.
Oh, okay.
So I guess, you know, over the years you get made fun of because your eyes can't focus on one person. People can't really see if you're looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they had to come to accept that. Mm-hmm. So that's a big deal for something that maybe they don't have the money to fix or don't even feel like it's worth it. And
right.
They say, you know what? I like my lazy eye and mm-hmm. I like my goofy lookingness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's true. It's definitely true. Because with something like that, like you said, it's not necessarily something you can change. So you do have to learn to accept it. And it does kind of tie in again with myself as the previous answer was given. But it's different, I think. Because myself could include, you know, personality quirks and stuff like that. Whereas obviously a physical characteristic is not as controllable. So learning to deal with that, mm-hmm. no, that's definitely a good one. So in the last response that we got is from a very special person. So
all the people that answered are special.
Yes, they are. I don't mean to say that they weren't. But anyway, so I'm going to read this question. This is actually quite a long response. Read the answer, not the question. So it's a little bit of a long response. I'm sorry. Bear with me. And I also have not read this beforehand, so if I stumble over some words and stuff, again, please forgive me. I'm not sure about imperfection, but I will say that we all go through some stages. I don't want pride to fall into arrogance, selfishness, and to become narcissism. Some things that we deem bad can really be steered into good. It is good to take pride in one's work, good to care about oneself, where many times early in life I would slay self for others, only to hurt myself. Can one be humble in pride? I think there can be a bashfulness and quiet love for accomplishing things. Love is about balance, everything in moderation. I think in quote-unquote Christian circles, there is this illusionary drive for perfection. This will never happen and is truly unattainable. To name your faults and accept them is growth. Why do Christians want this perfection? We are supposed to believe in Christ because he lived the perfect life. We cannot. So I don't know where this disconnect comes from. Maybe Paul and James. Sigh. It hurts people. It creates an uptight, I'm a better Christian attitude that truly is prideful and just isn't real. I came to this realization early in my teens in a crazy church. Would perfection be great? Ha ha. No, I don't think so. I'm not a robot. What's that Depeche Mode line? I give in to sin because you have to make this life livable? Maybe that's why I don't even try to play the phony part anymore. Wow, this escalated quickly. Lol. 3 cups of coffee already. Lol. Yeah, I can sympathize with the coffee thing.
I give in to sin. I like that song.
Mm-hmm.
I like Depeche Mode.
Yeah.
Wow. That was quite a response.
Yeah.
It was very good.
I can't say I'm surprised that kind of thing came from him, but that's okay. Like, I'm not surprised. That's my point.
It's very deep. I didn't think that asking that question would have a result of depth like that. But that's what's important about finding your imperfections mm-hmm. worthy of loving, too.
Right.
Is that, you know, they have to go through their life and see what they had to accept and maybe what they had a struggle with, being obviously that they had struggles with the Christian mindset of perfection and imperfection.
Mm-hmm. Which is an interesting point, as you said, to bring up and tie into Wabi Sabi. Now, this is something we've just talked about amongst the two of us to bring up during the podcast a few times in the past. And we've never really felt that it was time, but coincidentally now it is. So I don't know how much time we're going to spend on this because there's not really a whole lot to get into with it.
No.
It would definitely need to be, if anybody really wanted more information, it definitely needs to be more of a dialogue.
Yeah. But we should define what Wabi Sabi means.
Yeah. So I don't know what the correct definition, like as far as how Japanese people would give a definition, like if somebody who wasn't Japanese and didn't know about it was to ask what is wabi-sabi, I don't know exactly what their response would be. But the way that I've come to define it is basically the perfection of imperfection.
Okay.
Because to me, the way that I've come to understand it is it's not that there's beauty in imperfection. Well, there is beauty in imperfection, but it means so much more than that. That without imperfection, it's less real, and so therefore less perfect. Because perfection isn't attainable, basically. Right. Which, as the response said, and to make it easier, I'm just going to say this was your brother.
Yeah.
Because that way I don't have to say the respondent or anything like that. Your brother. We've kind of had discussions about this sort of thing in the past. Your brother and I, that is. So we kind of already are at a place where we can understand this together. But because it ties in with this, it just makes sense to go into it more. But that's the whole paradox of what so many Christians believe about attaining perfection. We can't attain perfection. There's just no way that we can attain perfection.
Well, so, you have to also think that there is a scripture where Jesus says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
Right.
But, you know, everyone's kind of like, what? How am I going to be able to do that? So it's like, it's a confusing concept. Because it's like, oh, great, now I have to be perfect. But then people start to say, well, what is perfect? And then there's a search for that.
The interesting part about this whole learning about wabi-sabi and starting to see it and accept it is the fact that this comes out of a Buddhist culture. Like, mm-hmm. it's not a Christian-influenced thing at all. Because, right. as we said, Christianity for a very long time has said you need to be perfect. That's why it has so many rules and regulations and legalities. Because the point is, if you follow all of those rules and regulations and legalities, you will be perfect. But to quote Donnie Darko, life isn't that simple. You can't throw away a whole spectrum of emotions. Now, we're not talking about emotions. I'm talking about just life, just the things that happen and who you are and how you are. But it's the same thing. And that's why it's so frustrating to see Christians talk about, like, we have to be perfect. Because that's not accurate to say that we have to be perfect in the sense of we make one decision and then it stays that same way. Like, the interesting thing when we talk about that reference to be perfect like God is perfect, well, it's not like God didn't ever change his mind.
Right.
So...
Well, we know that, but a lot of Christians don't even realize
that. A lot of Christians don't pay attention to it, yes. And I wouldn't be surprised if just even a lot of people who even study the Old Testament. I don't know enough about Jewish culture to point fingers at anybody who's Jewish. But how often do people overlook... I'll say the people in our circle, the Christians that I know, they completely overlook the simple point that it says in the Old Testament early on, God regretted what he had made.
Yeah.
That means that God... changed his mind.
Yeah.
He felt that he had made a mistake. So that means that God had...
world.
Yeah, he was going to destroy the world.
And decided to change his mind again.
Yeah. So that's the thing. When we talk about being perfect, that doesn't mean doing something and it being perfect and never changing from that. So that kind of, in a sense, can kind of explain the whole... being, you know, perfection in imperfection.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to explain like a simple definition of wabi-sabi. So say I made a pitcher,
mm-hmm.
you know, like a jug,
mm-hmm.
and a piece of it maybe got a crack in it where
right. when
I was really working hard on it and all of a sudden I noticed this crack. I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do about it? So then I go and I maybe... put some new clay over it, maybe add some paint in that area, and you notice it.
Right.
And the Japanese, they actually look at that and they go, oh, this is wonderful. I love it. You know?
It's actually more valuable to them. Well, by the way, they also wouldn't paint over it to match.
Right.
If you repaired it, if you repaired it, they would leave it. Right. But I mean, even, for instance, if it was clay, mm-hmm. or if it was a piece of pottery, and the clay was one color. If you used something to fix it, to repair it, you wouldn't paint over it to make it match. You wouldn't try to hide the damage and the repair.
Right.
You would just simply fix it. And that's like one aspect of it, is that you're not afraid to fix things. You're not afraid to let people see the imperfection in the item.
Yeah.
Like I said, to a lot of Japanese people, that's actually more valuable than a pot or a mug or whatever piece of ceramic that hasn't been broken.
Yeah.
For it to have been broken and repaired is almost worth more to them because the item meant enough to somebody to repair it instead of just discarding it.
And then it ties into the idea that Jesus fixes those broken pieces mm-hmm. to make perfect. So in a way, wabi-sabi does tie into that.
Yeah, I think indirectly, because it didn't come from that. That's why I'm saying
right.
that I do believe that you can apply this to a Christian ethic.
Right.
In the sense that we aren't supposed to treat things disposably. Like, the earth that God gave us, we're not supposed to treat like, oh, well, we can just replace it.
Yeah.
Because we can't. So, not to get into being a crazy green tree hugger, but I'm just saying, there's obvious things that if we're doing things wrong, then we're destroying where we live.
Yeah, so there are things where if we see certain imperfections that shouldn't be, we should try to fix it. Such mm-hmm. as, you know, if you see a can on the side of the road,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's not meant to be there. That could destroy the earth.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so I want to be able to use this to talk about maybe some things in our own lives that are wabi-sabi
mm-hmm.
that we have come to accept. That goes in line with the question, too.
Okay.
So what's something about you that you had to learn to accept and that you have found beauty through the imperfection? Perhaps there's something that you just never had a problem with. Maybe you never had anything that you looked at yourself because, I don't know, you're pretty easygoing. So
maybe I'm just innately a wabi-sabi adherent. I never found a problem with any of my imperfections.
Yeah, because it's weird because like you're shorter than me and that never mattered to you.
No.
In fact, your height never mattered to you.
No.
And you have a scar on your nose that you didn't have until a few years ago.
Yeah.
That you're just like, whatever. So
I'll just say I don't feel that there was anything. Because nothing comes to my mind. I guess if anything, it's just the fact that when I was younger, I didn't take care of my teeth well. I'm not really ashamed to talk about it, I guess, but I don't know. But it's still even different because it's not really that there's an imperfection that I had to learn to love about myself. It actually doesn't really matter to me, which is also part of why I haven't gone out of my way to do more to fix them. But
at the same time, you don't smile as often as you used to because you're like ashamed of your teeth.
It's not even so much that I'm ashamed of them. It's that I know what kind of reaction other people will give me if they see them.
I don't know about that.
I do.
I don't really think people notice it. You think they do?
Trust me.
Oh.
I'm the one that has to see people not making eye contact with me when I'm talking
to
them.
So you see them looking at
yes.
your mouth?
Yes.
See, I guess I never really cared about your teeth.
Okay. Well, there you go. But that's my point, is that I don't care about them. My point is more that I think about other people noticing them and their comfortability with it or not. For me, I don't care. I do what I feel I need to keep myself healthy. If there's a problem, I take care of it. And that's just one small part of why I think when I learned about wabi-sabi, it made so much sense to me and it clicked right away. Because, for instance, I think about my situation with my dad in his chair and being disabled. And when I was younger and I would tell people that my dad was in a wheelchair and they'd be like, oh man, I'm so sorry about that. That must be horrible. And I'm like, it's life. Like, what am I going to, like, what's the point in being upset about it? And there are other things too, even things like other parts of my past that a lot of people might beat themselves up over and get upset about. Like losing my virginity at the age of 12. And a lot of people that I know have been like, oh, I would regret that so much. And I'm like, well, or have other conversations that I've had with people are like, oh, what's something you would go back and change about your past? And I'm like, I wouldn't change that because that's part of why I am who I am. And that perfection is imperfection. That's mm-hmm. all. Like I said, that's why all of this, it made so much sense when I heard wabi-sabi, because it was already my mindset that I'd rather accept the things that I've already accepted, all these things that were quote unquote imperfect in my life, because I knew that those imperfections turned me into the perfection that I am. And that's a whole nother aspect of Buddhist Japanese culture, like the whole mindset of like Satori, everything being perfect exactly as it is. They tie together, which so I guess maybe we should have brought that in with it, but I'm not going to go crazy about that one. But wabi-sabi is kind of the explanation for Satori, of everything just being perfect exactly as it is. And that's why, like I said, I accept everything. And I haven't really had to fight with anything when I was younger. I really don't feel like I ever had to fight with maybe moving a lot and not having a lot of friends. Like, it just never affected me the way that I know it's affected other people, like when they've been in similar situations.
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
Well, that's why when people, you know, when they talk about things they've gone through and, you know, they mention you, I'm like, oh, he's so easygoing. Like, he doesn't complain about anything because you just accept things.
Right.
And that's a good thing.
It's kind of funny, actually. A few years ago, I had a coworker say, I don't get it, man. Like, you don't get fazed. Like, you're the easiest going person I've ever met. And I was like, okay. But then I noticed that there are times where I do get more frustrated at work. So, like, I might, you know, whatever, go into a little fit of rage because I'm just annoyed about a situation. So when I started noticing myself doing that, I started to pull back and think, like, oh, but that's not the person I want to be. I want to be the person that this guy commented on about how nothing affects me and I'm just so calm and cool. With the last couple of years, it tied into the whole minimalizing and simplifying stuff, where I feel I've been able to get back to that person. And so again, even recently at work, somebody else commented again about how, like, I really don't get affected the way that a lot of other people that would be in my situation do. And I love that. I'm still here getting frustrated and annoyed, but for whatever reason, I'm able to let people see it just doesn't affect me. Like, and the worst part is, the only way I can explain it, to find like a Western explanation to kind of make, to explain the whole wabi-sabi slash satori thing to my coworkers, is it's just the way it is. Life is just what it is. Like, I'm here, I made the decision to be at this job, you know, and other people around me have been fired and other personnel has had to change. So I'm just doing my job. I'm doing what I can with what I have. And that, so that's just what it is. So I just do that as I'm doing it. And some people get that. Some people say, I still don't get it. That's fine. I'm not trying to make people understand who I am or why I am the way I am. But I just like...
And it's not like you're faking it to make it or whatever either.
No, not at all.
You're just... That's just you.
Yeah. Or
you're just like, oh, okay, this bad thing just happened. Well, I'll do my best with it, you know? And instead of letting it bring you down, you're just like... All right, what's next?
Let's
go to the next thing in life, you know?
That's what I mean. That's actually, that specific conversation is a kind of conversation I've had with coworkers, especially over the last few months, where there's one coworker who gets very easily frustrated with what's happening during the day. And it's almost one thing will affect the next thing, and then those things will affect the, you know, it's a chain.
Yeah.
Where everything just makes his day worse and worse and worse. And I have a coworker that is the opposite of that. He's like, I just come in, I do my thing, and I go home. And I leave my work here at the end of the day. And, you know, I leave home at home when I get here. And I said to him, well, that's the whole point. Is that, you know, when I'm frustrated at work, whatever is frustrating me is only going to last for maybe a half an hour, a couple hours at the most. I'm 34 years old. I'm almost 35. The things that are frustrating me on a day-to-day basis at work are so insignificant compared to the life I've lived so far and what I plan to live in the future. So why should I let that continue to be a burden? That's just the kind of person I am. And it's not just even burdens, it's just other things too, where that's just, like you said, I'm very Winnie the Pooh. We talked about in one of your old videos on YouTube.
Yeah, we should link that video.
Yes, we will.
The personality... Of what's your...
Explain, yeah, your personality type by Winnie the Pooh characters.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun video. That was my first video.
Yep. Yeah. And I still think it was one of the best, just because of what you said, not necessarily because of the way we shot it or edited it.
Yeah.
But just the whole idea of Winnie the Pooh, which actually our friend Tim mentioned there's a book called The Tao of Pooh, which
I still want
to read. But Winnie the Pooh is just, oh bother. And he just goes on with his day, and he does the next thing, and he just...
They're like, oh, a bunch of bees are chasing me today? Oh, well.
And that's what I love, because that's...
I'm stuck in a hole. Huh.
Yeah, and he's, okay,
I'll just eat my honey and do what I can.
There you go. So that's why, like I said, I think I'm very Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah, you are.
I kind of feel like I'm like that. Because even when, all right, for instance, the point when Winnie the Pooh is stuck in the hole. He's stuck in the hole because he's fat, because he ate too much, right? So what does he do? Well, oh, well, I'm stuck in this hole. I might as well keep eating, because that's what makes him happy.
No, I think he had to go a few days, though, because Rabbit was trying to get him out of the hole so badly.
Oh, I don't remember how long it was. The point is,
yeah,
he was in Rabbit's house, and he was eating, and he got too big to get back out the hole.
Yeah.
But so then he just hung out and whatever. So
until he could get out.
But that's the kind of the way like I feel about like, yeah, I'm a little bit overweight from where I would really be comfortable. But at the same time,
you're not overweight though.
I'm bigger than I would like to be.
Okay.
I'm not overweight, but I'm bigger than I would like to be. But at the same time, I'm not stressing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. If Winnie the Pooh got stuck in a hole trying to get out because he was too big and he didn't even get bothered by it, why should I get bothered that my pants are a little tighter than they used to be? That's a very silly way of explaining it, but that's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's enough with me with the whole wabi-sabi stuff. But what about you? I know some of the things that you feel are imperfections, but I'll let you talk about it.
Yeah, my scars.
What scars?
Well, it started with all my chicken pox scars, where I thought like they were such an awful thing to have, because I have one in between my eyes. I have one. I mean, I have a whole bunch of them, because I had a really bad outbreak of chicken pox when I was 5, 6 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. And I remember even staring in the mirror and crying, going, I'm ugly, you know, because I was covered with them. And so when they healed, or, you know, the chicken pox went away, I was left with dozens of scars on my body.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I got pregnant with Lado, and I gained 60 pounds, and mm-hmm. he was almost 10 pounds at birth, minus, like, 2 ounces.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was, like, 34 weeks pregnant, I started getting stretch marks all over me, and it was really, really bad. And so now I'm left with loads of marks all over my belly that was, I thought, was perfect. My belly, I was very into.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some of my calves, some of my hips. I'm left with them all over. And, you know, because my whole body expanded with water. So, you know, I learned to first accept the ones in my calves. Those were the first ones that didn't bother me. Like, you could see them if you're up close. But I'm just like, you know what? It's fine. You know, I had to carry around this child, and my legs are strong, and they mm-hmm. did what they could to continue carrying this huge child. And, with the stretch marks on my stomach, that's still sometimes hard to think about, but, it helped that you didn't care about them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you carried my, my babies.
Which I tell you all the time.
Yeah.
Pretty much every time you make a comment about your stretch marks, I say
that. Know, I call them my zebra stripes now. And, you know, I have learned to accept them. They're there.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get rid of them. I don't care to have to get them fixed up.
Mm-hmm.
I did try a few times to maybe find a way to lighten them or... Mm-hmm. whatever, but, you know, it's just a waste of effort
mm-hmm.
and money. So there's no point anymore. So I've learned to just, you know, they're a part of who I am now. Mm-hmm. I'm not 16 years old with a perfect stomach anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once I was 23 and gave birth, that's when I had to deal with these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And you accept me, so that makes it easy. And
mm-hmm.
yeah, but I think that is very much why I connect to a broken pot.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I could say, oh, well, you know, now I've got all these marks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the main one. And then I have my calcium mark on my front tooth that mm-hmm. I got covered when I was 14, but you could still see.
Yeah.
And it caused me to keep my mouth shut for years. I was so embarrassed by that calcium mark. And then I met you with your miscolored fillings on your teeth. And then I was like, oh, well, I could deal with this. And then that's when I stopped caring about my calcium mark, when your teeth made me feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm. See, that's why you don't pay attention to them anymore, because you already got what you needed from them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think when it comes to, like, my inner being or mm-hmm. whatever, I've learned to accept the fact that, you know, I speak sometimes while thinking, instead of thinking before speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to accept the people who react to that. If they look at me funny after I say something, and if they can't deal with my, I guess, outspokenness, or just to, I'm very honest and not in a mean way or anything. It's just like, I do say things how I feel or whatever, or I'm very open. Mm-hmm. And that surprises people where they've called me crazy or an intense person. And I've learned now, I'm just like, you know what? If they don't like that, oh well. Mm-hmm. So I've learned to accept that too. And I like who I am.
The other thing that I think is neat about the whole wabi-sabi concept that I want to just bring into the podcast is the whole idea of simple living kind of needs wabi-sabi. Because if we don't look at what we have as precious, whether it's, you know, if we're always looking for perfection in what we have, we're never going to be satisfied.
Yeah.
So that's why, like I said, I think the idea of the perfection of imperfection is needed for living a simple life. Because when you accept what you have, and I mean, it's oftentimes in Western culture, we talk about just being satisfied with what you have. And I think that that's close, but I still think it kind of misses the point a little bit, because satisfaction doesn't necessarily mean adoration for what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where even the whole KonMari thing, I think, kind of ties in. When you think about stuff that sparks joy, like in the manga, the one thing that sparks joy for the character, the client character, was an old cookbook, an old recipe book. And it's all tattered and beat up and torn. And it's old. She said that it was one that she had from when she was a child, and she used to use recipes out of it to make for her family. And so she probably, if she decided that she needed to be perfect in the sense of this book needed to be perfect, so she had to go and get a new copy of it, the new copy wouldn't have the same joy in it.
Mm.
You know, just because it was a clean, perfect version of the same book, it wouldn't have the same, you know, dirty fingerprints from when she was a child. Stuff like that. You know, they're just the same. I mean, Japanese culture is very mystical, so they would probably say that it wouldn't have the same spirit in it.
Mm.
So I don't know if I want to say that, but yeah, I understand the idea that, you know, you put love and emotion into something. And so if you were to replace it with just a new clean version of it,
it's not the same.
Don't have the same attachment to it.
Right.
So not only do I think that our mindset about simple living and needing to be this whole idea of being satisfied with things because of wabi-sabi, but also just the idea that, like, the handmade mug that I have, like, we always kind of joke around about how it's kind of wabi-sabi.
Yeah.
Because it's not perfectly round. There is a crack in it that, you know, it looked like from when it was being fired, it probably cracked, but it was repaired. And just the way it's done, it's obviously handmade. And I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Not just because it's wabi-sabi and it makes me think of that, but because I know that it wasn't manufactured by a machine. Like, somebody made it.
Yeah.
And the same thing why we love the whole idea of, like, homemade items and people that are
the
makers
made
and artisan-made stuff. Because it's real. You know, it's not going to have that fake perfection of being manufactured by a machine. It's real.
Yeah.
Like, a person did that.
And you think about our society always looks towards people that are famous or whatever, or, you know, body image and photoshopped images or whatever.
Right.
I think about another imperfection of mine is I've got zit scars on my face.
Right.
Because I broke out in crazy adult acne in my, you know, from 18 through my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And I use Korean beauty products as medicine for my face that have helped my face from not having breakouts and to help fight that. But, you know, I'm not going to go fill in my scars. And in fact, as I age, they're more noticeable because my skin is starting to change around those scars. And so I might look very aged by the time I'm 45 because of my zit scars. And you know what? That's just what it is because I've had hormonal crazinesses.
And it just ties in again, though, with the idea of what really is perfection.
Yeah.
Because if you're just trying to perfect your outward appearance for other people, like filling in your zit scars or whatever, what is that doing to you?
Right.
Like, your soul, well, as far as perfection.
Right. And one thing that I do is I have started to really prefer this side of my face to the other side because it has a lot more scars than the other. I mean, I have my nose pierced on that side. When I take photos, I'm mainly on that side. You would think I would want the other side, but I don't prefer that one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think it helps me to accept my beauty because I think I'm beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Despite having those, I'm beautiful.
I know you are.
I know. You don't have to tell me. But that's what I mean, is that if you have someone who might be overweight or way too skinny or whatever, or maybe they have lots of zits more than I could imagine ever having, or maybe they're bald, or maybe they have freckles all over, or they have thin hair, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that they're like, oh, but you know, these people, I don't look like that. I wish I could have that. It really breaks you down mm-hmm. terribly, where you have no love for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes other people to not really like you, too.
Right. So in general, as we were learning about this stuff, it's really interesting to just see the different dynamics between, like, a culture that accepts and embraces this whole wabi-sabi thing versus the Western culture, where it's always about perfection and seeking perfection. Because it's almost like just now, recently in the last couple of years, our culture is starting to see the whole thing about how, like, perfect perfection is baloney.
Yeah.
Because we had recently, over the last few years, there are a couple of clothing companies that have made the point that they're using unretouched models.
Right.
And I think that that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because we're starting to get through, we're breaking through that stupid thing of perfection is what's needed.
Yeah.
And we're starting to realize, like, reality is so much more perfect than any fake perfection that you
and
can imagine.
Been noticing actors and actresses who are not getting
their Botox and all kinds of other surgeries.
They're just naturally aging, and we're like, oh, like, even in watching The Last Jedi, we saw the one woman who is in Jurassic Park.
Laura Dern, yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, why do I recognize her? Mm-hmm. And she looks older now.
Yep.
And when it dawned on me, like, who she was, I was like, wow, she looks so much older. But I was like, good.
Well, even there was another trailer with Helen Hunt.
Right.
And I was like, wow, she, like, literally, she actually looks her age. She does not look like she's done anything to keep herself looking younger.
And I know, like, Brad Pitt doesn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's always been so gorgeous. And so now you have this guy who's just naturally aging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's so many other actors where it's like, oh, good for them for just looking their age. I see now, like, Johnny Depp is starting to look his age because he's getting up there now. He's in his 50s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people have always found him to be gorgeous. Mm-hmm. I haven't, but, you know, most people do. Brad Pitt, I find to be gorgeous.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, it's a good thing because then you have people will not have to go through all these desires to want to change themselves.
Right. Well, even just the way that culture accepts itself, each other, because I think of when we were, I think of, like, the way people thought about, like, bullies in the past versus now, that in the past, it was kind of like, well, you know, certain people are going to be bullies. You just have to learn to stand up for yourself against them.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying that we need to go on this crazy rampage against bullies and treat them like they're violent criminals.
Yeah.
I don't mean that at all. But I think when we get rid of the cultural mindset that there is a form of perfection, that if you're not that perfection, you're not good enough, then we won't have the need for people to be bullies. Like, if we can get over that kind of stuff. And I'm not trying to make this all touchy-feely, you know, psychoanalysis,
like,
kind of episode.
Like, if someone, when you were younger, said, like, oh, short guy, or who's short, short stack, or whatever they would call you, and you'd be like, yeah, I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a whole other thing, is that our culture also, for the longest time, was if somebody says something to offend you, fight back.
Yeah.
And we have other reasons why we already feel that that's not the way to behave.
Yeah.
And I think in some senses, this whole wabi-sabi thing is part of alleviating the struggle that comes from that situation. Because when you accept, again, if somebody tried to make fun of me for being short, if I was offended by that, I would get hurt and I would have bad feelings towards that person and I might get violent towards that person.
Right.
As opposed to if I look at it with a wabi-sabi perspective where I'm short, what do you want me to do about it? Like, what is making fun of me for being short going to do to change anything? So what's the point in me being upset about somebody talking about me being short? So I just said, yeah, I am short. Why?
Yeah.
You know, and it completely diffuses the situation instead of having it escalate into something else.
Right.
You know, and there was even a time I'll kind of wrap up with this because we don't need to just go on and on and on with stories, but just the best example I can give for this is that when I was in middle school, I remember there was one guy I went to school with who he liked to tease everybody else and kind of make fun of them, sometimes in a way that was more aggressive than others. Mm-hmm. But there was one time I remember I wanted to, in music class, play a certain song, and he started kind of like teasing me or making fun of me. And at the time, I kind of went off on him, so I did kind of lose my cool with that one, but I told him, basically, I don't care what you think. And I probably only went off the handle because I had just let it go, I didn't say anything until this point. But I told him, I don't care what you think, because your opinion about what kind of music I want to listen to has absolutely nothing to do with how I feel about myself. And so all you're doing is creating these roadblocks for, like, other people to find acceptance. So I just remember, though, but that when I had that conversation with him, completely changed the dynamic of our relationship. Not that we went from being enemies to being best friends right. or anything, but just the fact that he was like, oh, okay. Like, I stood up for myself without standing up for myself in the traditional sense. You know, I didn't have to, I'll see you on the gym at 3 o'clock. Like, it wasn't like that. It was just like, literally, I don't care what you say because I am comfortable with who I am and what I like and all that kind of thing. And that, again, just to bring it all back, I feel that that's the whole idea of wabi-sabi. It's not literally just about items being broken and fixing them, but it's about, and not even just about perfection in imperfection, not just finding that things are imperfect and you have to be okay with that, but that literally who you are is who you are.
Yeah.
And you don't need to let anybody else tell you that's not good enough.
Well, I think when it comes to our minimalism too, you think that people are not satisfied with what they own. So that's why they accumulate so much because they're like, oh, I need this version of something. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you know what? This new thing is really cool. You know, all my friends have it, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Even with adults, they do it too with certain mm-hmm. things like, oh, you should really get this. Oh, should I? Okay. And then you end up with something that you don't use or whatever.
Yeah.
Or you don't care about.
Well, it's kind of a paradox for me as a bit of a tech head.
Right.
Like that I look at, for instance, Apple has a new phone every year or yeah. whatever it is they do. I don't care to go out and buy the newest version that comes out when right. it comes out. But I understand the why those things are neat and I understand the improvements that those give. But I don't feel the need to replace my stuff as soon as it becomes not the newest
right.
thing.
Right.
And I guess that's kind of the whole point about the physical material aspect of wabi-sabi.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that, you know, if people accepted what they already had or just got the things that they know that they'll use and that they'll love and put right. dedication towards, mm-hmm. then they wouldn't have all this stuff sitting around.
Mm-hmm. And even in a kind of a funny way of tying in where Western culture did kind of practice wabi-sabi, but they didn't recognize it as something like that. But the idea of if something you had broke, fix it.
Yeah.
Like my dad always talks about how my grandfather, if something of his broke, he would fix it. He would do everything he could to fix it. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't replace it unless it was the absolute worst case scenario. He just could not fix it.
Yeah.
So I innately had that mindset. Where, again, as a tech head, I've always played with computers. So whenever when I was younger and I would use a computer and something broke, I wouldn't go out and buy... First off, I wouldn't go out and buy a whole new computer. I would try to figure out how to fix it. And then even when I would fix it, I wouldn't go out and buy the brand newest version of the part that I needed to fix it.
Right.
I would go and find an inexpensive version to make it work again.
Yeah.
Because it's just... You don't need to go above and beyond your means to do that.
Right. And to bring that in a more womanly aspect. Mm-hmm. I have a
Wait,
dress.
You're saying women don't play computer games and fix computers
okay.
and stuff?
Yes, they do. They do. Okay. You're right. I have done those things myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying that, like I got a dress when I was 15, 16 from eBay
mm-hmm.
way back, way, way back when you could actually send cash through the mail still to get your things. And I bought it for like $15. And it has ripped and the lace has fallen off or whatever, this dress. And I've had it for all these years and I fixed it so many times because I like it mm-hmm. and I don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
It's like the the longest owned thing I've had, really.
Well, it's neat how that ties in both the whole KonMari thing and Wabi Sabi.
Exactly.
That you're fixing something that you love because it still brings you joy to wear it and to have it.
Yeah.
So.
I'm not saying then, you know, you have stretch marks, you got to get them fixed or anything.
No, but material. Well, but again,
I'm just saying if someone gets the idea like, oh, well, then I got to do that. Some things, yes, you could fix it and make it better. But other things.
I'm hoping people see an obvious line between thousands of dollars on surgeries to fix stretch marks.
I hope so, but you never know.
A few dollars on thread and needle to fix a dress. I hope that they can see that difference. Because you can't just go out and get a new body.
Right.
So, at least not now. Maybe with science in the future.
That would be awful, though.
But anyway, we wanted to get those topics through with the new year. Because we think they were pretty appropriate. And thought it would be fun to talk about.
Yep.
So we'd love to hear any kind of feedback relating to maybe if anybody else has imperfections they want to share and talk about.
Yeah, we want to hear more.
You know, we'd love to hear that stuff. Not because we want to feel better about ourselves, but because sometimes talking about it just makes it that much easier to accept.
Yeah, and we want to encourage people too.
Mm-hmm. And I'd love to, if anybody wants more information on the whole wabi-sabi and satori concept, I love talking about that stuff because I'm a weird person.
And
it's just funny to how to bring back to your brother's response. It's so not something that Christians are supposed to talk about, but it makes so much sense that Christians should talk about it.
Mm.
Not because it's a different religion, but because the concepts without any kind of religious implication apply to Christianity in such a way that it's just absolutely ridiculous that we would turn our backs on something that could be so helpful.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Good job. High five. So thanks for listening.
Again, as always, visit us at simply-us.net. You can get all the different episodes and comments and links to our social media things. And
we just updated our website.
Yes, that's true. We put a new theme. I'm not going to lie. It's not like I'm not using WordPress for the site.
And
so.
It's not an amazing... I mean, when you click on the image, you get a huge...
Yeah.
Image and then the content with the episode. So I'm sorry about that.
We just figured the way it's laid out now, it's a little easier to see that there are multiple episodes instead of having to scroll past one giant image to get to the next post.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear feedback on that. If anybody has noticed the different theme. Yeah, that's fine. If that's what you want to say, that's fine too. I'm wabi sabi about it. I don't care. It's perfect in its imperfection.
All right.
Anyway.
Thanks, guys.
Till next time. Bye-bye.